Sadducees came and desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, When it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. Amen. Matthew 24:33 says, So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Now, Jesus was talking to the scribes and the Pharisees and all the religious crowd, and they were always looking for a sign, and they were always asking him for a sign. And so he looked at them. He said, well, you're just a bunch of hypocrites. You don't even go by the signs that you preach yourself. And then he's not telling us that we can't look for signs. He's just saying, don't be a hypocrite about it. If you're looking for signs, be truthful about it. But then he says there will be signs. So it's not a contradiction. It's just he was telling one crowd, you're a bunch of hypocrites. You just don't want to believe in me. So you're not looking at the signs that are really there. And you want me to tell you something that's not real so you can catch me in a lie. He's not telling us that. He's telling us that you can see. If you go back and read Matthew 24, you'll see in verse 32, 33, 34, I think verse 35, he's telling them, you know, about when the weather changes and the leaves changes and the moon. There are signs. All right, but I want you to think about this. As believers in Christ, and certainly as in believers in the Bible as the inerrant word of God, we're not really looking for signs. Our sign was the cross. Amen? Now, we've got eternal life. If you believed on Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you received what He did in His death, burial, and resurrection as your payment for sin, and His resurrection from the grave as it being accepted, and you've asked Him to save you, then therefore, that's the sign that we go through life under, the sign of the cross. But there are signs, and he goes on and tells that there are signs of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, I said it last week and the week before, and I think the week before. There are no signs for the rapture of the church. There are none. He doesn't say, look for this, and then the trumpet's going to sound, and you'll all go up. No, he said, now you look for these things, and they are a sure sign that I'm coming back again to judge the world and rule it for 1,000 years. That's what he's talking about, not the raptured church. So when we talk about looking at signs in the Bible, which we're going to look at a few in just a minute, when we're talking about looking for signs in the Bible, we're not looking for proof. We're not looking for evidence. We live by faith. We don't live by signs. And you can be misled, and you can misunderstand some of these signs. So therefore, we're not saying that we believe the Bible because these signs are there. We're not saying that we believe Jesus is coming back because these signs are there. We're just saying we believe the Bible, and by faith, whatever the Bible says, that's what we accept. Amen? And we're also saying this, if we're that much closer to Him coming to set up His kingdom, then that makes us, if the tribulation period is 7 years, that makes us 7 years closer to the rapture than the second coming of Christ. You understand what I'm saying? So we're not looking for signs for the rapture. We're looking for the rapture at any moment, in the twinkling of an eye, any time. But there are some signs in the Bible. I'll show you a few tonight. And they're not real hard to see. And the longer we go toward the second coming, and the closer we get to the second coming, the easier it is to recognize these signs. Now, there's some of them, people that lived 3, 4, 5, 8 generations ago could not make sense of some of these things. But now we can, such as transportation. communication, all kinds of things. We'll get into a few of them. But I want you to turn to Matthew 24 now once again. That's the most expressive pastor, I think. But now listen to me. That's not the only passage. There's lots of them. Now, Matthew 24, look at verse 7. In verse 7, he says, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines, and pestilence, and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." Now, turn to Mark chapter 13. We're going to be turning to a lot of scripture. If you can't keep up, just trust me. Mark 13 and verse 8. "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows." Now, one of the signs, I think, is the natural order of things will be disturbed. Because the creator of the universe, who made the order in the first place, is going to disturb the natural order. I really believe that. He said there will be famine. It doesn't matter where you go in, today, somewhere in the world, people are starving to death right now. Now, when he says famine, he doesn't mean there's three guys down there sleeping under a bridge. He means there's 30,000 people somewhere over in the town starving to death, or maybe 100,000 or 2 or 3 million people. That's a famine. They're starving to death. And he said there would be famines in these last days. He said there would be earthquakes in these last days. And I believe we probably had more earthquakes in our lifetimes. There's three generations sitting here than the world had ever known before we got here. Amen. Have you ever thought about what an earthquake is? Now, this is suppositional theology. I just suppose it to be this way. I can't prove it, but I could be wrong and still go to heaven. But the Bible says that hell enlarges itself. Right? Bible scholars, help me here. Hell. Now, if hell is in the center of the earth, and it's fire, and now scientists tell us the center of the earth is molten rock, burning, liquefied, it's so hot rock. Well, what made it hot? Well, they say it's spinning the earth. I don't agree with that. I think all around hell, it is so hot that the rock melts. All right, and then rock moves. It doesn't just melt, it moves. So as more and more people die and go to hell, and hell enlarges itself, that rock's got to move. Now, what do you get when you have rock moving under the ground? You get an earthquake. Boy, ain't that complicated. Amen? Dr. Ron taught you that. Write that down somewhere. As we get closer to the end, more and more people die unbelievers, and more people go to hell, and hell enlarges itself, and the rocks move, and you have more and more earthquakes. Amen? Now, I'm not a scientist, but that sounds pretty simple to me. More plagues. There's going to be pestilence. That's plagues. The Ebola and things like that. Africa right now. I wouldn't go to Africa. There's so many plagues going on right now. All over the world, there's sicknesses and things that doctors don't know how to cure. If doctors are so smart and we give so much money to cancer, and I'd consider that a plague. And so many people are dying from cancer, I consider that a plague. And if they're so smart, why can't they stop cancer? Amen? There's all kind of things going on that they don't know how to do. He said signs in the heavens or the sky. The heavens. That's where the stars and the moon and the clouds are. That's the heavens. He's not talking about heaven where God is. He's talking about the heavens that we see. Now, he said there'll be signs in the heavens. Weather. Now, I can't pinpoint all this stuff, but I think sometimes God's just trying to wake people up. And if some preacher gets up and says, if we'll get right with God, the weather will get better, I think he's right. He tells us to pray for rain. He said Elijah prayed for it not to rain, it didn't rain. And then he prayed for it to rain, and it did rain. So the weather is affected, and so that's a sign of the time. Things in outer space. Now, we just, we're about to land something on Mars, or at least they tell us we are. We don't know. All we know is what they tell us. And they're going to send us pictures. I don't know where those pictures come from. Do you, Joey? Have you ever been to Mars? Do you know those pictures come from Mars? I don't know. These guys at NASA have to make a living. They got to make a living. Amen. I'm going to start a conspiracy right now. They're not laying on Mars. Hey, go head out toward California, find one of those deserts out there. It looks just like Mars. They could be out there taking pictures, man. Amen. A rock looks like a rock looks like a rock. Amen. I don't know. But I know this. There's signs in the heavens. There's things going on up there. I read recently that there's more black holes than there used to be. And scientists don't know why. And then I read another place where it appears that a planet is headed in our direction. Well, how does that happen if everything's set in motion by gravity and it can't move unless the gravity's... How's all that happen? Well, God does what he wants to with the heavens. Amen?
Amen.
And we ain't even going to get into UFOs and stuff. But but the United States Air Force has been making UFOs a long time. Amen? And if you don't believe it, ask those Afghans that they dropped the bombs on what that looked like. But there's signs in heaven. The Bible says there's going to be signs in society. Turn to Matthew 24:14 again. Signs in society. Look at 24:14. In verse 14, he says this, "And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, then shall the end come." Don't you think that if the gospel is preached in all the countries around the whole world, that that will change society? And it needs changing. Look at 24:12. In verse 12, "Because iniquity shall abound, and the love of many shall wax cold." Amen? Look at verse 37. In verse 37, he says this. Are y'all cold? Are you hot? Are you indifferent? Amen. Well, I see some of you bundled up and some of you ain't, so I'm going to quit worrying about it, okay? Verse 37, it says this. "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of Noah that were before the flood, they were eating and they were drinking and they were marrying, and they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark." What's he saying? People were living and ignoring God. Amen. Society was ignoring God. Walmart was the busiest church in town today. Amen. You say, "Well, that ain't church." Well, some people's made it their church. Amen. They like me, though. They got them signs over there. It says Clarence all over the place. Anyway. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm talking about signs in society. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, would you agree with me that society is changing?
Oh, yeah.
Would you agree with me in the last three generations it went downhill, not up? Look at chapter 3. Look at verse 1. "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." You know what perilous is, right? That's dangerous. That's dangerous times. You might get hurt in a perilous situation. "Perilous times come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents." Never been a day like today on that one. "Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection." Now, don't mistake that to mean homosexuality. That will come in with the sodomy and stuff. Without natural affection means this: to love a mother for a daughter, daughter for a mother, son for his father for his son, sister for a brother. Just natural affection. Would you agree with the Bible that the natural affection of people has disappeared?
Yes.
They don't care nothing about their families. They don't care nothing about their wife. They don't care anything about their husband. It's all about that lovers of self. Amen? And so keep reading. "Without natural affection, truth breakers." You can't believe a word people say. They'll lie to you in a minute. Truth breakers. False accusers. They not only will lie to you, they'll lie on you. If it makes them look better, they'll lie on you. Amen? And then not only that, look here. He says, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded. And here's what all that ends up. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Oh, would you agree with me? We're living in that sign. Boy, we can see it everywhere. We see it everywhere. We even see it in the churches. Amen? We see it in the churches. And people's all about self. So, I'd say there's signs in the sky, and there's signs in nature, and there's signs in society, wouldn't you? Now, when I got thinking about society, I thought, well, that's lawlessness. Lawlessness. Nobody wants to be under the law anymore. Nobody wants to obey anybody telling them what to do. Most kids go to school. My wife teaches school. My daughter teaches school. Rachel teaches school back there. These kids are lawless, and then when they try to do something, not punish them, but discipline them, the lawless parents show up. Amen. The student's not the problem, it's the parent. And our society's lawless. Nobody wants to be held accountable anymore. Amen. And then violence. My goodness, at the violence in our land. Now, I grew up in the 60s and the 70s. I was born in 54. And we had some violence. We had riots and stuff. But at least it was for some reasons. Civil rights, equal rights, things like that. Now they storm the gates and tear up stuff and burn down stuff just because you didn't carry their rainbow flag or something. Amen? It's got to the point where you have to agree with them and glorify them, whatever the sin is, or they'll get violent about the thing. Amen. I can tell that one went over like a ton of bricks. Immorality. You know what immorality is? That's sexual sins. Sexual sins. And all kinds. All kinds. Now, politicians are jumping on these things and using them for their own benefit. And that's just stirring it up even more when a politician gets in it, trying to get votes, see. And so immorality. I was a fatherless son. I was a illegitimate child, okay? That was a shame and disgrace back then. Now that's half the children born now are born out of wedlock. Read the newspaper. Mom and Daddy's got two different names because they don't want to get married, because if they get married, they're going to lose a government check. This is awful, folks. Immorality. Men marrying men and women. And by the way, that ain't marriage. You can call it whatever you want to. God started marriage, and that's not what he started. But these men uniting and these women united and all this stuff. Rampant immorality. I hope you watch your kids when they're watching television. It's full of it. I hope you're listening to the music they're listening to. It's full of it. Amen. Immorality. And that's the day we live in. Well, that's a sign. You remember, some of you remember when people were ashamed of their sins. You remember that?
Yes.
Amen. They were ashamed. We would hide to sin. Not anymore. No, sir. It's out in the public, and you better applaud them while they're doing it, or they'll attack you. That's immoral. That's immorality. Lie, cheat, and steal. Greed.
Yes.
Greed. I know that Granny Clampett says that money is the root of all evil. But money, not the root of all evil. It's the love of money, the Bible says. That's the root of all. Now, money is what we have to live on. Ain't nothing wrong with that. We got to, unless you got cows to, well, Holroyd might could live without them. He's got cows he could trade for stuff. I ain't got no cows. I have to use money. And I, our society. But to love money, would you say that the age we live in, they're lovers of money?
Yes.
I would. Boy, you give kids a dollar now, they look at you like you have done something wrong to them. What, a dollar? A dollar? A dollar? That's all you're going to get? And we raise them to love money. Now, you ought to raise your children to manage money. You ought to raise them to pay their debts and spend their money wisely and save some money. If you live long enough, you will. But you ought not live for money. That's the love of money. Amen? And that's ruining our society. It's destroying it. How can a politician go into office as a congressman or congresswoman worth $140,000 and 20 years later come out worth $40 million or $50 million? Amen. Bernie Sanders. Yes, I said it. Glory to God. Yes. Yes, I said it. Amen. Selfishness. I'm talking about signs in society. Selfishness. I remember when the motto was, it's better to give than to receive, don't you? You won't hear that anymore, no sir. If you don't give enough, you offend them. Amen? And by the way, it's your fault if they ain't got it. And it's your fault if they ain't got enough. Y'all still with me? My daddy-in-law, one of the wisest men that ever lived in this area. He said you could take all the money of all the people all over the world, the millionaires, the billionaires, the trillionaires, the governments, the poor people, put it all in one pot, dole it out equally, every person get the same amount when you handed it out. And he said within a year or two, the ones that had it all in the beginning will have it back, and the ones that didn't have any will be broke again. Because there's a reason they were broke. And the others, there was a reason they had money. Amen. But selfishness, my goodness, and greed. Hedonism, that's a word you don't hear much. Hedonism. Hedonism is living as if there is no God. Like dancing around the fire naked. Like nudist colonies and things like that. That's hedon. They have hedonist vacations now. Where you can go on vacation, anything goes. You say, preacher, I don't want to hear that. Well, that's a sign of the time. Amen? That's a sign of the time. Anything goes. There's nothing wrong. As long as it feels good, do it. That's hedonism. Amen? And then rebellion. You ever seen a time when there's more rebellion than there is? Rebellion against parents, rebellion against religion, rebellion against government, rebellion against work, just rebellion. Two Democrat senators this past week that are going to run for president came out and said that they have come up with a plan that all Americans get a base salary. A base salary. Meaning if you don't work, they're going to pay you while you don't work, and it's like $20,000, $30,000 a year. They'll just pay you to stay home. Everybody's entitled to that. So if you got a headache and you can't work that job, they'll pay you to stay home. It ain't unemployment either. Unemployment you pay into. This you don't pay nothing into. It's called. But why would they do that? Because these people rebel against everything. They rebel against paying taxes. They rebel against working, everything else. Now, listen to this. I think the world, one of the signs is despair. Despair. I don't think there's ever been a worse time in the world that people were not in worse despair than they are now. They don't know what to do. I'm talking about good people. I'm not talking about the heathen or the heathen. I'm talking about the good people. They're in despair. They don't know what's... the last election, I was a nervous wreck. The last presidential election, I was a nervous wreck. Because I was in despair. Boy, I was thinking that if this other guy or gal gets in there, I'm going to lose all that I've been saving. You know, I'm going to lose what I've been working for. Our nation is in despair. The world's in despair. Now, that's the signs of the nature and the signs of society. I want you to look at the spiritual signs. Turn to Luke 21, verse 8, if you will. Luke 21, verse 8. These are the spiritual signs. Luke 21, verse 8. And he said, take heed that know that you be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near. Go ye not, therefore, after them. There's some folks coming that's going to say, I am the Christ. Some have already come. Look at Matthew 24 again. Just keep your finger in Matthew 24. Look at Matthew 24 again. Look at verse 5. In verse 5, he says this, while the bridegroom tarried, they slumbered and slept, and at midnight Oh, I'm sorry, I'm on the wrong one. 24, I was reading 25. Chapter 24, verse 5, okay? I was reading my own bad handwriting there. Look at verse 5. He says, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall what?
Deceive many.
And ye shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Now, you want to know one of the things that's the spiritual signs? Cultism. Cultism. Now, most of you have never been exposed to it, and most of you will not probably ever take time to study it, but there's a lot of cults. A cult is somebody that their final authority is not the Bible, it's a man or a group of people. You understand what I'm saying? And they follow those teachings. That's culty. Now, some people will accuse Fundamental Baptist churches of being culty. Well, that's not true. You're not following me, you're following the Word of God.
Amen.
And if I change, you can vote me out. Amen. But don't you even think about that. I ain't going nowhere. My next move is up. Amen. Amen. Don't you think about that. Don't let the devil put that in your mind. Amen. I'm going up. I ain't going out. Amen. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. In verse 3, he says, "Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." You know what a falling away is called in theological circles? Apostasy. In other words, they did follow the truth. They did follow Jesus Christ. They did follow what was right and truthful. But now they've fallen away from that, and they're following someone or something else, not Jesus Christ. We have one cult, the biggest one in the world, is called the Church of Latter-day Saints of Jesus Christ. That's a cult. It's another Jesus. It's not even the same Jesus. They said Jesus was the brother of Satan. Yeah, that's what they said. They said Jesus was a man just like we are humans. He was human. And said God was once a man just like man is man. And they believe you can work your way into godhood. Why do you think those boys come around knocking on your doors? They do that for 3 or 4 years to earn points trying to work their way to godhood. And by the way, women can't be gods in the Mormon church. Talking about Baptists being chauvinists. And, amen. Amen. And, hey, it's another Jesus. Some of you might have grew up. Didn't y'all grow up in the Mormon church? Any of you ever been to the Mormon church? There's one right there. Amen. And thank God he got rescued. Amen. The Mormons teach, they'll come to your house and they'll have a King James Bible. But on the bottom of it, down at the bottom, these big notes, and it's the Book of Mormon.
Yeah.
And they don't tell you that. They don't tell you. When I first got saved, these two guys knocked on my door, hadn't been saved maybe a month or so. These two nice-looking young men come. They had a black tie, black pants, white shirt. And I thought, boy, there's some nice, good-looking Christian men out winning souls. And they knocked on my door and they said, "We're from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints." I grew up in Lancaster. We never heard of such an animal down there. They scared to go to Lancaster. And so I didn't know who they were. I said, "Oh, church! Y'all come on in." So they came in, they sat down on my couch, and they began to talk to me, you know. And I was still all excited about being saved. Did not know probably 2 Bible verses by then. So I'm sitting there, hey, these guys are wonderful. And they're talking about Jesus, and they're talking about God, and they're talking about the Heavenly Father, and they're talking about the Bible. And then they said something about getting baptized for the dead. I said, "Wait a minute, whoa, baptized for who?" He said, "You mean baptized for the dead?" Said, "You can look up your family tree And you get those names, and we'll help you look it up. We got a computer out there, fills up a whole mountainside. We'll help you look up your family tree. They didn't know that I just had one side on my family tree, the other side was bare. And we'll go out there, we'll find your family tree, and we'll get names, and you can get baptized in their name. And they can come out of the second or the third heaven and go into the first heaven. I said, whoa, three heavens? Yeah, that's right. And show me that. So they turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I think verse 26. It says, else what shall they, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead if the dead rise not at all? He said, see there, they're baptized for the dead in the New Testament. That's what it sounds like, don't it? I said, wait a minute, let me read my preacher. I need to read a little more. So I read a little bit up and a little bit down. I still didn't understand what they were talking about. So I still worked in the cotton mill. And I went down there that night, and Tommy Owens, our deacon, who's graduated heaven, he worked on the other end of my machine. He was a backslidden Christian. I said, Tommy, I need you to read me this whole chapter and come back and tell me what it means. I don't want to tell you why. So he went and read, and he come back. He said, that's easy. The Apostle Paul said, I came unto you and I preached the gospel, which is death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say that you got baptized in the name of a live man, Jesus Christ, not a dead man, Jesus Christ. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? If he didn't rise, is what he's saying. I said, I should have known it. There it is. But anyway, I didn't know it that day. And then they took the Book of Mormon. They said, we want to take the Book of Mormon, and we want you to take your King James Bible, and we're going to lay them down here on the floor, and we're going to get down here, and we want you to pray that God will reveal to you that the Book of Mormon is another testament of Jesus Christ. Something got over me there. I said, whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Another testament of Jesus Christ? Yeah, I didn't know it, but it's another testament of another Jesus, right. Not one we know. And so, but something stopped me. The Holy Spirit said, no. I said, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I don't know why, but it just don't feel right. I can't do that. And I offered them some coffee and tea and Pepsi Cola, which is a sin for them to drink. And I didn't know that either. I could have been offering a Baptist beer, been about the same thing. And I bid them Godspeed, and I didn't know I was supposed not to do that because it's a cult. You need to read the history of people like Joseph Smith. I have. He was a pedophile. You need to read the history of people like Jim Jones, Reverend Young Sung Moon. You don't hear much about that group anymore. They used to sit on the corner and sell flowers. You remember that? They were worth billions. They would get you to come to their meetings, and they were so loving and gentle, and in the 60s and 70s, that's what it's all about. So they'd win a lot of people to their group. And then they'd get you to recognize, they said, Adam was a Christ, but he failed. And they said, Noah was a Christ, but he failed. And Moses was a Christ, but he failed. And John the Baptist was a Christ, but he failed. And Jesus was a Christ, but he failed. And Reverend Young Sung Moon from South Korea is the Christ, and he's going to set up the kingdom on planet Earth. And people flocked to him. They had mass weddings. They'd rent the Shea Stadium. And they'd have 5,000 or 10,000 couples in there, and they'd all repeat the vows at one time, and most of them had never met the other one until that day. And they made them donate everything they had, property, money, clothes, everything, to the church. They own nothing. That's a cult. There are some cultic teachings going on right now. You better watch what you watch on TV.
Amen.
Some of that's cultic. Because, have you ever noticed they never mention the local church? You ever notice that? You ever notice they say, they never say, send your tithe to your local church, but we'll take an offering if you got one? They never say that. They say, send your tithes and your offerings to us. You never notice that? Have you ever noticed that some of the men are kind of effeminate and the women are kind of masculine? You never notice that? All the boundaries are being removed. And hey, it's headed to a one world religion. And if you're a local church and you're a King James Bible, then you're the nut. So you're the nut. Not them, you are. And they've got good people to see, brother. Good people. That's apostasy. The good people are falling away and falling for this stuff. There's so much I can say on that. They've fallen away from the Bible. Did you know there's 113 English translations of the Bible now? Do you really believe that all of those can be right? If God wrote a book, and I believe He did, can God, who created the universe and keeps it together, can He not write a book and keep it pure?
Amen.
Well, then why are you retranslating it every year? I'll tell you why. It's not Christians, nor Christian organizations, nor churches doing that. It's publishing houses that write books, and they got to come out with a new book every year so they hire people that are not even Christians to retranslate Scripture. Well, this one's over 400 years old. And I figure if it's been working for 400 years, there ain't no need to change it now. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Y'all crazy people go to these garages and they say, we're going to change the oil, and while we're at it, we're going to change your transmission fluid. I say, why are you going to change my transmission fluid? Well, it's old. I said, but it's working. And by the way, if it's old and you do change it, your transmission's going to slip. Yeah, because all those pieces that's wore out, they're floating around in there, and they're keeping those things rubbing together. You get rid of that, and you put clean in there, they don't touch anymore and start slipping. That's the truth. You take that from mechanic Ron, not Dr. Ron, okay? But churches are falling away. You know what? I'm not ashamed of who I am in Christ.
Amen.
I'm not ashamed of belonging to the local church. I'm not ashamed of being Baptist.
Amen.
You may take Baptist off that sign out there, but when you do, you're going to take my name off too. I'm not ashamed of that. Our ancestors died for what we believe.
Amen.
And the only reason you'd want to take it off is because you'd want to compromise with somebody, not to offend them who have already fallen away. Some of y'all came from churches like that. You ought to be jumping in the pew right now. Amen. But now, that's the spiritual sign. Boy, I done run out of time. I tell you what we're going to... No, one more verse. One more verse. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And then next week, I got four more points on this. So we'll go on with it next Sunday night, okay? But right now, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you will. 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you will. And I got to find it myself. Now, I'm talking about spiritual signs, okay? Spiritual signs. We talked about signs in the sky. We talked about signs in society. And now we're talking about spiritual signs. Now, these are the negative signs. I've got some positive ones, too. I'll give them to you next week. 2 Timothy, if you will. 2 Timothy. Chapter 4. I'm going to get over there myself. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. He said, I'm charging you with this. This is what you're supposed to do. Preach the word.
Yeah.
It didn't say harmonize or homogenize. It said, preach the word. This morning we preached the word, and God did the work. Amen. Preach the word. Be instant in season. That's when people want to hear it, and they think it's all right. Well, Christmas is in season. Everybody wants to hear it in season at Christmas. Easter, you know, we got the Easter lilies. They show up on Easter Sunday, you know. And they want to hear it. That's in season. But then he says, out of season. That's when they don't want to hear it. Preach the word. Preach the word. Amen. Out of season. Whether it's popular or not, Brother Mike.
Amen.
If you lose your job, you lose your job. If you lose that pay increase, you lose your... Just preach the word. If you lose your friend, you lose your friend. If you lose your family, you lose your family. Preach the word. Amen. If you lose your denomination, preach the word. Amen. Amen. Preach the word. In season, out of season, reprove. You know what that means? Jamie, you know what that means? Putting my big old finger in your face and telling you to straighten up over here. Behave. Straighten up. Straighten up now. And now that's reproving. And sometimes you got to do that. Now everybody's welcome to come here. Everybody. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you. If a 6'4", 250, 300 pound man walks in with lipstick and a dress on, I'm going to reprove him. Amen. I'm going to reprove him. If some gal walks in here, you know, and she done shaved her head and she wants to be a man, I'm going to reprove her and say, God's been good to you. Now, you can come in and sit down. You can listen. But I'm going to tell you right now, you need some help. Yeah. Amen? Amen. Yeah. And now they got generic people. They're neither male or female. I don't know how that works. I better go on. He said, rebuke. Exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. It's not going to be easy. Use doctrine, long suffering, keep it up. But look at verse 3. For the time will come. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Well, what are they going to do, preacher? All right, look at the last part of that. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Now that's apostasy. That's spiritual signs the day that we're in. You can go up here about any justice, peace now, and have a same-sex marriage, you know, you can do things like that. Out in public, you can do just about all kind of things. Now they got all kind of sexual stuff going on. Not only that, though, crooked preachers and crooked priests it's awful, folks. It's awful. And you say, "Well, preacher, I've been preaching it," and we'll start on that next week. You say, "Preacher, I've been telling people this, and they don't believe me." Well, you keep telling it. You keep telling it. And eventually somebody will catch on. When I was younger, they'd tell me, I'd say, man, you crazy. Ain't nothing like that going to happen. That's just UFOs. You know, I said, that's UFOs. Ain't nobody lives out there. Hey, I'd say Isaiah was smoking dope when he wrote that. You know. I'd say, Jeremiah was dropping acid when he wrote that. Yeah. You're all crazy. That's why I'd tell them. Then I'd go to church a few times and they'd sing and they'd preach and I'd sit there and I'd think, these people's gone out of their mind. I cannot wait to get out of here. I can't wait to get out of here. They talk about people going to hell and then they turn around and talk about loving them. But they were long-suffering toward me. And they kept the right doctrine. Listen, they didn't compromise because it was me. They just kept, and that's what we need to do. You say, "Preacher, I'll offend people." You will. You were offended. But I'd rather offend them than him. Amen. And that's the day we live in. Now, next week, I got three more points on that. Amen? All right. Let's stand. I hope you're going.